download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And I might add, it doesn't hurt you to follow myself on social media, whether you look for the Monday Night Talk Facebook page, Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD. Also, I'm on Twitter. We welcome all kinds of followers. You on Twitter yet, Joe?
I have a Twitter, but I never use it. And, you know, I never really use Facebook anymore either. I'm kind of getting off the social media.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the way to communicate these.
Well, I only use Facebook for the Costa Coalition, so.
To spread the word when you need to.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Well, our next guest who is joining us is a former Brockton City Councilor, served four terms as the Ward 7 City Councilor, and last Tuesday night he was able to secure himself on the November 3rd ballot. We have none other than Mr. Chris McMillan joining us. Chris, how are you?
Hey, Kevin, how are you? Good evening. Good evening, Joe, also.
Yeah, good evening.
Hey, so I got to ask you, first and foremost, Chris, I'm taking a look at the local newspaper. I'm looking at today's local newspaper.
Okay.
And the headline says, Battle for Mayor Begins. Did I miss something?
I don't. I don't think highly of the newspaper in Brockton.
No, I'm just curious because I thought it began last week. I thought last Tuesday was when it began.
Well, if they want to consider it a battle for Brockton, the mayor's seat, it actually began when everyone pulled papers back in June and July. So that was when we started. I actually started late. We started mid July, and by the time we gathered our committee together, it was probably mid-August. So we had a five-week push, and we were successful to come into second place. So, again, we have a five-week push till November 3rd, and so we're going to do the same.
If we look at the ballot, if we look at the number of votes, there was approximately a 1,400-vote differential between yourself and Mayor Carpenter.
Yep.
How big of a hurdle... Now, according to this, is that you're facing an uphill battle. Do you feel it's going to be an uphill battle to be able to get those needed votes in order to at least make this a race?
Yeah, Kevin, anytime you go against an incumbent, it's always an uphill battle. But I myself was an incumbent at one time, so I was city council for those eight years. So we know how to run the campaign. We know where our targeted areas should be right now, where we were weak in. Like I said, we only had the 5 weeks to cover and reach out to 45,000 registered voters, and unfortunately only 20% voted. But we're going to reach out, and we have our areas we are going to be targeting, and we're going to hit the road running right now. We've already been out since last week, so... It's just going to be whoever can, you know, pull their votes and make sure we secure our votes and make sure to get to the polls on November 3rd.
Go ahead, Joe. You got a question, Joe?
Well, I was actually just going to start diving into some of the issues, you know, that Brockton faces. You know, it's funny.
Top one has to be crime.
Well,
the top one has to be crime.
You know, it's funny because about 2 weeks ago, my company gave Brockton as part of the territory I have to go do insurance inspections.
Okay.
One of the things that we do is we have to rate the areas we're in, you know, with the level of crime that we feel is affecting the risk. You know, one of the things I'm learning quickly is, you know, some of the areas that are certainly have issues and just the overall scope of crime in the city. You know, what are some of the things that are maybe not happening now that you'd like to see changed in terms of crime? And what are some of the things that have could be changed, going forward in the future with the police department potentially that you see?
Well, one of the things that was dropped basically 2 years ago was the community outreach to the kids and the juveniles, and it's not happening right now. So we want to implement that when I get in, and also I'm going to allow the police department to run their police department the way they want to. We're going to sit down with the brass, with the captains, and they're gonna, you know, they've already told me they have programs that they want put to implement, but they haven't been doing so. Programs that they had years ago that actually pushed people out that were the bad people out, and now they've come back in, and they're just causing havoc right now within the city. They're shooting everywhere. Unfortunately, it's a bad reputation for the city of Brockton, which we've had it for quite a long time, but it's getting worse. That's why I put my name on the ballot to try to clean up this area.
What is it, a matter of just those particular programs? Is it manpower? Is it throwing more money at the police budget? I mean, what exactly will it take to, you know, bring this, or at least quiet this urban center?
It's a combination of all. We need the community outreach. We need to actually sit down with the local, they have what they call a Brockton Interfaith Community, the churches, and reach out to all them and make sure that everything gets covered. We do need the manpower. That's a certainty. But the money is not actually all there right now. But what we're planning is to make sure some money is set aside completely to hire the public safety people, whether it be fire or police department. We're short-staffed as far as the police department goes. They're getting a little burnt out. They're tired. They've been working a ton of overtime, and that's showed in the budget where they went through a large amount of their budget within last year. The first 3.5 months, they went through the $600,000 of overtime money, and they had to go back for another $300,000 ask for the city council to. So that's a lot of money that they're spending on these guys going out and women going out and working. So,
well, I've always heard and saw good things about the Brockton Police Department. Mm-hmm. But the question is it? I've attended my share of forums where it's been stated and said that it's a small part of the population that's causing this. Is it something that needs to be pushed as far as up on Beacon Hill in regards to legislation with some of these criminals?
Right now that we have groups that are fighting for turf, and that's the bottom line. And it's usually tied with the drugs. Mm. And so they're fighting for the turf, and that's what's going on in the city of Brockton right now. The police and the detectives, they're doing an incredible job with
right.
the amount of people that we have, and I commend all of them. But we have cards stacked against us, a deck stacked against us right now. They have to go out there, and then, you know, these people know that when this shift changes, they know where the police are and they know where they're not. So. And that's what we're dealing with right now. But as far as getting this, more aid from the state, I'm not sure if that's, I'd like to see more grant money from the federal government. And, you know, the state's going to probably hold back some money. But I'd rather have the money from the state go back towards the education. We've lost a lot of teachers here in Brockton. And that also, and a lot of programs that keep the kids off the street are no longer intact. So I'd rather utilize the state for that part of it and go out to the federal government for Homeland Security and for grant money that way.
Do you feel maybe education? You mentioned drugs. I know that's a big mm-hmm. thing that a lot of Brockton isn't the only community that is dealing with the drug situation. And I'm wondering if education is the way to not only deter crime, but also to deter the drug element.
Yeah, that's one of the big factors that we just have to educate everyone, and we have to actually have the kids off the streets and educate them and show them that, you know, the police aren't their enemies. The police are actually trying to help everyone out, and that if you have something going on, you should reach out and talk to someone. You know, call have a number to call, or talk to your teacher, or talk to your pastor, or your reverend, or your priest. And just to reach out and don't be afraid to discuss something that's going on in your neighborhood that could help out your neighborhood and eventually. So that's what's going on right now. We have a lot of people that are afraid to even speak out.
I have to ask you, how do you feel that you're a lot of folks were wondering who it was going to come down to. Would it come down to yourself? Would it be Jacob Tagger who would be, you know, who would be in there. It comes down to you. How do you feel that your experience is something that the folks were vested in just 5 weeks in, and you'll be able to gain the votes to, you know, maybe be the next mayor?
Well, we've actually teamed up with Mr. Taggart's team, and they had 1,500 votes and change, and I had 3,000 votes. So if we add up our percentages, we're going to be taking the we overtake the mayor's with his numbers. So most of the votes that were with Mr. Taggart and myself were what we consider the anti-mayor votes, and that's hoping that they stay true. But usually what happens, Kevin, and you know this, you've been in politics for a while, and mm-hmm. The main election usually doubles in number as far as the voters go. So we have a lot of work to do. We're very eager to do so. We have a great plan put in place, and we're going to keep pushing forward. And I'm trying to convince, you know, just our job is to convince the people that my platform is going to be better than what the existing platform is.
The biggest thing that I think the city faces on an annual basis, and you know yourself, you've had a chance to sit down and along with your colleagues, look over 8 budgets. Mm-hmm. And of course, being a city councilor, you don't get to add to it. You don't get to appropriate, but you do have that chance to make cuts if it's going to trim the budget. Looking at the budget situation with the city of Brockton, one of the things that the city needs most is some way to generate revenue. You know, I know people aren't happy or don't like the idea of a casino. What's some of the alternatives if a casino isn't the way to generate revenue to be able to have extra police, fire, and maybe teachers for education?
Well, it's to bring in quality business that's going to create quality jobs for the city of Brockton. A casino is not a quality business, in my eyes. The jobs that they say that it's going to create, the 1,500 jobs, you basically have to be a qualified employee, which means that they do a query check on you, they do a credit check on you, and they make, if you have any blemish at all, you're no longer qualified to apply. And, you know, in a city this large, it's going to really knock out a lot of people there who might have gotten in trouble when they were younger. And, you know, they're great people now, but they made a mistake. But that's not going to allow them to even apply for these jobs. I personally would like to sit down with Mr. Carney, who owns that property at the fairgrounds, and try to create some type of like a annual hall status there with multiple restaurants and stores and a destination place, along with a sports dome, an indoor dome for the kids to play soccer and during the winter times and softball and have dog shows there and all. They have that down in Rhode Island. I just, you know, they have it in the outskirts and the other towns, but we have absolutely nothing here in Brockton. We don't even have a movie theater here in Brockton. So those are the things that I would like to see brought in here that create revenue. So because that tax right now, the fairgrounds is not being taxed. It's agricultural. So once we put it on the tax roll, we're going to be creating a nice tax increase.
Hey, during your time as a city councilor, did you ever have an opportunity to help bring business to the city?
Oh, Kevin, yes. I encompass the north side of Brockton and all of Westgate Mall. So I worked very hard with the Westgate Mall. And when New England Development repurchased the mall, they did a wonderful job, and they, you know, redid the outside of the mall, the lighting, the security. But that was something that we sat down, myself as a counselor, and spoke to them about, and saying, you know, letting them know that the residents were not coming to the Westgate Mall for these reasons, and those three right that I just mentioned were the main reasons. And they brought in some businesses that were quality companies and stores and some restaurants. So that's what people are looking for. I also helped bring in Northeast Electric on Oak Street, which is now their main headquarters, and worked hard, very hard, with the B21 to bring in the Crown Uniforms and Linens to a 20-acre site that was contaminated soil, and they spent millions of dollars to clean it up, and they made that into their home headquarters. So those are three quick ones that I can talk about that I helped bring in over my 8 years as a city councilor. So the mayor has a lot more flexibility. And so if I can do that as a city councilor, I could do a lot better and a lot more things with when I'm a mayor.
Yeah, we're speaking with Chris McMillan. He is a mayoral candidate in the city of Brockton. Joe, you have a question?
Yes, there's being, you know, intimately familiar with some of the issues in Brockton, I know that two of the larger ones are both the power plant and the purchase of the desal plant. What are your positions on both of those? You know, the mayor has seemed to take in a position of allowing the power plant to come into the city and the purchase of the water desal plant.
As the mayor, you have to respect the residents, and down in that area where this power plant is going to be placed, the residents are totally against it, and so you're hired basically by the residents to represent them. So of course, I don't think it's a good thing. It's a good fit for the city of Brockton. Brockton seems to be the dumping ground for all these things. One is the casino. The other one's this power plant. The criteria of this power plant keeps on changing. They keep on changing the designs. One time they're going to use lowest phosphorus diesel. That means tanker trucks are going to be coming through the city. Then they took that off the equation. But with this new contract, the mayor is proposing that we have to abide by anything that they want to change. So I don't quite think that the money that they're promising is going to be there. The mayor overstepped his boundaries by awarding them the wastewater for their for the cooling towers, because that was a city ordinance, and there has to be city council approval, which he never had. So now that's in court right now. As far as purchasing the Aquaria water, I know I understand when we signed a bad contract back in 2002. But it's a 20-year contract. We have, a few years left on it, and we have to. I personally would work for the state to take control of it, come up with a water commission with the surrounding towns to take control of that facility, and then City of Brockton will be released out of that contract, and we can go and pay as we take if we needed it. So it would be almost pretty comparable to the MWRA, but I don't want to. And then I mentioned that once. We don't want the MWRA, and it's not. It's going to be a different board. But I would like to have the state take over the desal plant and let them run it.
I guess I want to. When we had the forum here a couple of weeks ago, I know Charles Matheson, one of our reporters who has followed what's gone on with the Central Plymouth Water District. What's your understanding as far as what's going on with Silver Lake and how some of the communities feel as to the city of Brockton's use of the water and the partnership with the city of Brockton in regards to it?
What do I think? What was that question again, Kevin?
What's your thought on the partnership? I know some of the communities in the Central Plymouth Water District aren't too happy with Brockton's use of how they're using it and opening and closing and how it's causing damage to the Montponset ponds.
Yeah, I think we should be more sensitive to the area and the surrounding towns. Where it's not, technically it's not the city's locality, but that is our water source. So we have to work together. We have to sit down with them, find out exactly how we can improve the communications with the surrounding towns and what they feel is being done wrong and correct that. And that should be an easy solve if you just sit down and discuss these issues. But I don't think it's happening right now. It seems like the Brockton's being like a bully and they're just taking what they want and not caring about the surrounding towns. And that's going to change when I get in.
I guess I have to ask you, we've kind of talked about some of the top issues, the issues that if you look on social media, if you asked the everyday person walking on the street what they felt are issues, but what would you say is, have we talked about any of any particular pet issue of yours, whether it's education or economic development or something that's an expertise that we haven't touched upon yet?
Well, it's been a combine of all, Kevin. Crime is the main issue right now. We have to get that definitely under control. But we also have to get the teachers back to the classrooms and lighten the classrooms. Because right now, most of the classrooms are 30 to 35 kids in the classrooms. And it's hard for one educator to control all those students, and they can get a little rambunctious. But that's one those two things there: the crime and getting the education, getting the teachers back in the classrooms. Those are the top two priorities. And, you know, and when, once you reduce the crime or start, hit, you know, making it a little bit better, it, you're going to attract all the businesses and they're going to come in. So you have, it's, you have to work at it with a bunch, you know, three or four different avenues you have to go down and work simultaneously. So,
Joe, question?
If you get in, if November, what, when's the
November
election?
3rd.
November 3rd.
It's a Tuesday, Joe.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. November 3rd.
Just a reminder.
What, you know, we saw in the primary, as Kevin mentioned earlier, that there was a very low, considerably, 20% of voters turned out. Now, you know, based on past history, what are the expectations for the general election in a couple, in 5 weeks? Is it supposed to be significantly more, or...
Yeah, it's like we only had, like I said, 20%. It was like a little over 20%. And that's exactly what we had 2 years ago when the incumbent mayor, the two-term incumbent mayor, lost to Mr. Carpenter, the Mayor Carpenter now. So that was 20% back then. And then they raised, they had around 14,000, almost 15,000 people that voted out of the 45,000. So we're looking at a little bit more, probably close to 15,000 people may vote. So we have to, our goal is to capture around 8,000 votes, which is a lot to grab. But we're going to be knocking on everyone's door. So don't be surprised to see us standing in front of your door if you're those residents of Brockton.
I guess I want to ask you, I mean, how about as far as economic development? I mean, what does your administration do when it comes to that? What are you going to look to do to stimulate economic growth and try to bring more businesses to, whether it's the downtown area, to the city? I mean, what does the next sitting mayor, whether it's yourself or the incumbent, what do you guys have to do in order to bring more businesses in and increase the tax rolls?
Well, right now we have the Mass Development, which is a state-run program. They're in Brockton. They're creating a plan along with the city planner, which, as I was a sitting council 2 years ago, we implemented a ordinance that made it mandatory that we had a city planner, because we hadn't had a city planner in a long time. So that's, he's been put on to the payroll. He's doing his job, and now he's working with Mass Development to create a plan for development of downtown. But before I left 2 years ago, the old Enterprise block, which is Trinity now, they came out. It's a multi-use. We approved that over 2.5 years ago. We approved the new lighting downtown area. We approved the state has approved to do a couple of streets over, which is Pleasant and West Elm Street. So a lot of programs that were in City Hall Plaza was done by grandmother back when I was the city council. We approved that. So a lot of things that you see and developed today, Kevin, were approved a couple of years ago. So unfortunately, whoever sits in the mayor's office usually tries to take the credit, but we have to make people aware that those programs were already initiated and already approved years ago prior to this mayor coming in. With that said, we have to work with the Mass Development and the local universities to try to get them back to come into Brockton. We almost had a plan set up, and now I believe Governor Baker pulled the money away from that. So with those things, we have to stimulate the downtown area, but we have to have a plan for downtown area. And as I'm reading with the planners department, he's trying to create a plan right now, which is a great thing. This is something that hasn't been done in quite a long time. So, but that's he's doing his job that we made sure we had someone to do that job. So. To bring in the business coming to downtown. That downtown's a critical area, and I know for a fact that we have money been put aside for converting the downtown to a two-way. So,
but only a portion of it, though. It's not all of it. It's only up to a certain point, right?
Yeah,
like West Elm Street or something like that.
It's from Pleasant Street down to Belmont Street. It's a one-way.
Right. No, I know that. But I'm saying, though, I thought a couple of years ago there was monies that was awarded in order to do a portion of, whether it was from Belmont Street to West Elm or maybe even to Crescent Street, that making that two-way.
All right, $6.5 million was awarded, and it's been sitting there in the coffers for the state has it, and no one's tapped into it. And my legal team has found that and we're gonna utilize it once I get in. But I'm not telling the mayor where it is right now.
Okay. Anything you want to say in closing to wrap up this segment? Anybody who's listening in regards to what you're going to be doing over the next 4 or 5 weeks to get the vote out?
I just want to tell anyone who voted with Mr. Taggart's team to please come on board with us. If you want to really make a change in the city and you don't like the way the city is heading right now, please get out and vote. Don't sit down and say, next maybe in a couple of years I'll vote. But you need to get out and vote now. If you're okay with the way the city goes, then go out and vote for whoever you want to vote for. But mm-hmm. I'm here to make the changes that's necessary to bring the city into a better direction. We need to curb the excessive spending. We need to bring the teachers back. We need to make sure the crime is definitely taken care of by the professionals, not by a micromanager who's in the office right now. So that's the issue I have right now, was that the whole city is being micromanaged by the mayor. And that's a bad thing. You know, we let the professionals do the job. That's why you're paying them. So that's in closing. I'd like to have your vote November 3rd. And if you'd like to join my team, you can call my my campaign phone number. It's 508-631-4273.
Website?
ChrisMacMillan.com.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm sure that the newsroom is working on doing a political forum that somehow we're going to be involved in, and that yourself and the mayor will gladly participate in.
I'm looking forward to it, Kevin, and thank you, Joe, also.
All right, have a good night.
All right.
Take care now.
That, of course, is Chris MacMillan, the candidate for mayor. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, we have two more candidates for the city of Brockton. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Monday Night Talk.